So this past summer, many of you know we were on vacation, and there was a tsunami warning. And we were forced to retreat, but it did some pretty interesting things to the water over the next several days around the coast where we were. The tide was higher, the waves were much rougher, and one of the afternoons, our family was down at the beach. My wife and I were sitting in our beach chairs. My kids were playing. Ryan and Gracie were on boogie boards. Grace, Caleb and Kaylee were playing in the surf. And as we were watching them play in the water, we noticed that the younger two started getting a little further and further from shore. And because the water was higher, the waves were a little rougher, it did not take long for them to kind of get swept out. And before they even realized it, they were up to their tippy toes just trying to keep their head above water. And as I noticed they were getting a little too far out, I started making my way out into the water and grabbed hold of them and realized how strong the riptide they were caught in really was. And so I grabbed a hold of them and we began walking along the shore until we got out of the riptide and helped them back up onto the shore and just said, hey, let's stay a little bit closer to shore. And it's amazing how fast, how quickly that happened. And it wasn't intentional. They didn't decide, hey, we want to go get caught up in a riptide. It just happened over time as they were playing, as they weren't paying attention. And that's how drift happens in our life. We drift not even realizing it until one day we wake up and we're sitting in a place that we never thought we would be. And maybe in that moment God feels distant and we're questioning our purpose. We're wondering where God is in this moment. See, most of us don't drift because we stop believing. We drift because something else becomes more comforting. You sit in it, and it gives you comfort. And so we begin drifting. It happens in simple ways. When we go to our phone and scroll through social media to find comfort. When we turn on the news and all it does is fill us with anxiety and fear. All of these things shape us and move us in a particular direction. And if we're not very intentional about the direction we're moving, that drift happens not dramatically, but quietly. Simply, not even realizing that it happens. In Psalm 1, the psalmist begins, he says, "Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers." Psalm 1 is not a prescription, but it is a description of what a life blessed by God can look like. It begins with this word, blessed. In Hebrew, it's ashrei. And it's not a feeling word. It's not an emotional word. It's not happy. It's a directional word. It's about alignment. Have you ever gotten in a car before and the tires were out of alignment? And you're driving and you have both hands on the wheel, and no matter what you do, the car always wants to pull one way or another. And it wears out the tires quicker, and it just allows, it makes the car not function properly. But you take it in and you get it aligned, and then it goes smoothly. It works as it was meant to work. He says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. There's this progression to walk, to stand, and to sit. Because to walk with something, that's how this drift works. We start walking with something. And as we become comfortable walking with it, we start to stand around it. We slow down, we settle with it. And then we sit with it. And sit in the Hebrew imagination is a very formational word. You sat under the teaching of a rabbi. So a rabbi would call a disciple, and the question was, can I sit at your feet? And in essence, can I be formed by you? Can I be shaped by you? Can I sit at your feet? And that's how that drift works. We walk along something for a while until we start to become comfortable with it. We start to stand with it, and then we sit with it. We become complacent. And that formation is going to happen in your life. It's going to happen very intentionally, or it's going to happen unintentionally. But you will be formed and shaped by something. Blessed is the one who does not walk, stand, or sit. But then there's this term. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord? The word law here is Torah. And it's not this set of rules and regulations. It is a relational revelation. This is God telling his people, here is how you live in community with one another as the people of God. The turn, though, is around this word delight. Delight in the law of the Lord. In Hebrew, it's chephis. Chephis. And it's leaning towards something. We all lean towards things that we like, that we enjoy, that we find comfort in. It's a craftsman lingering over his creation, enjoying it, loving it. It's hitting repeat on that song that just brings you joy again and again to hear it over and over. It is to lean into something. Because the truth is, you are formed more by what you enjoy than by simply what you believe. You can believe something, but if you don't find joy and delight in it, then you will drift away from it. And that delight is cultivated over time. It's not a simple, we made a decision and now everything is going to be different. It's not, we're going to learn God's word, and so we're going to go spend 24 hours a day for the next 7 days memorizing and learning the word, and then everything will change. It does not happen quickly. Just as drift happens slowly, so does intentional formation in the ways of Jesus happen slowly. In fact, it's like one who meditates on it day and night. Because we all meditate on something. Fear, anxiety, maybe it's scripture. Think about something constantly. And that's what meditate means. It's to give our attention intentionally to something. It's the one who delights in that law and meditates on it that is like a tree. That is like a tree planted by streams of water. It's very intentional in its placement. By streams. Very intentional. So I brought this morning some giant sequoia tree seeds. Now, if you know these giant sequoias, they grow near the coast, and they can be around 300 feet tall. Massive trees. And so what I want us to do this morning is I want us to watch. We're going to plant some seeds. And we're going to water those seeds. And then we'll just wait. By the way, this will be the longest sermon you've ever sat through. It's going to take a while. Because that doesn't happen quickly. Even if we sit here through the next week, you're not going to see any evidence. In fact, I was reading through what some of the experts say about sequoias. It could take several months for the seed to even germinate. To do anything under the soil, regardless of whether or not we can see it. It grows slowly. And I read this by one expert who said, this can take months. The seedlings are very delicate. And then listen to this. It's a rewarding project for the truly dedicated, but not for instant gratification. And I think that's what we expect out of our walk with Christ. We expect this instant gratification, this instant change, this instant transformation. But just as the drift happens slowly over time, so does that intentional formation. It's not this one-time decision that we're going to grow in Christ. It's year after year after year after year of following Jesus that shapes us and forms us more into the image of Christ. It does not happen quickly. But the beauty of it being a slow process is the depth and strength of the roots that it develops. It's not a quick process, but it's a very important process. And so if Psalm 1 describes what this life that is blessed by God looks like, what it looks like to be rightly aligned, then Matthew 4 shows us in real tangible ways what it looks like to live this life out. Jesus has just been baptized. He comes out of the water. God says, this is my son. I love him. I am pleased with him. Listen to what he says. And then it says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And so he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and then it says he was hungry. And then the tempter came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, it is written also, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Three times Satan comes to tempt Jesus. And three times he responds by quoting what he has been formed by, what he has lived in, what he knows. And that is just simply God's word. He is the blessed man from Psalm 1 who has not walked and stood and sat, but who has delighted in the law of the Lord, and who has meditated on his word day and night, and he has been shaped and he has been formed. Before Jesus ever heals someone, before he ever preaches, he is formed. The wilderness is not punishment for Jesus, it's preparation. It's preparing him to live in this world, but that formation does not happen quickly. Every temptation that comes to Jesus, every temptation begins with identity confusion. And every temptation you face begins with identity confusion. With the tempter trying to convince you you're not really who God says you are, and that you need to prove it. But what happens when we lose sight of the identity we have been given vertically? We start searching for it everywhere horizontally. And we allow everyone else to tell us who we are. But what Jesus held on to in the wilderness, I think, were the words from the Father. This is my Son. I love him. I'm pleased with him. Listen to him. And Jesus resists that temptation, not just for himself, but for us. Right, that's the good news of the gospel, is that Jesus is formed and he lives this perfect life, not because he tried real hard, but he lives this perfect life because he was formed by the Father. Right, Adam and Eve fail in the garden with provisions. Israel fails in the wilderness with God meeting all of their needs. Jesus is successful in the wilderness with nothing. Nothing but being formed by the Father and by the law of the Lord that he loved so much. Jesus was different. Jesus walked with the Spirit. He stood firm in his identity as a Son of God. He sat under the teaching of Scripture. He meditated on the truth of God's Word. He delighted in God's will. And he resists temptation not just for himself, but for us. You see, the blessed life is not one that escapes the testing, but one deeply rooted deeply enough to remain faithful within the testing. He was formed for this moment. And you are being formed by this moment. These cards are just simply a way to help us to be formed. And I want to challenge you with something as you grab these cards. Every morning we get up, many times the very first thing we do is grab hold of our phone. And we see what we missed over the past 7 hours, 8 hours that we slept. But instead of running and grabbing your phone, I want to encourage you to run and grab these promises. To just simply work through these promises that abiding bears fruit. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, but apart from me, you can do nothing. Memorize it. Pray through it. Meditate on it. The one from this week is simple. It's God's word gives life. It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And here's what I can tell you, is this formation won't be fast. But at the end of 2026, if you can have 52 promises that God has given to his people, that you know by heart, I promise you, you will be formed and rooted deeper than you were before. And you will be more prepared to handle whatever temptations come your way. Because when you face those temptations, we're reminded that man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So I want to encourage you, grab these abide cards. There's hole punchers out there. There's rings. Make this a part of your daily routine over the next year. Commit to this and watch how God will form you. It does not happen fast. But if you allow it to work slowly, those roots will grow deep. Father, we thank you so much for this time. God, we're grateful to grow in Christ. We're so thankful for the way that you bless us day after day. And Father, we're so thankful for the example of Jesus that shows us what this aligned, blessed life looks like. Father, make us like trees planted by streams of water, that yield its fruit in season and whose leaves never wither. Father, give us life today. Give us hope. Call us back to our first love and remind us that you loved us first. Father, we thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.